apart from the balance, the lid is on.
Welcome to The Lid Is On, a podcast series from UN Radio in New York. I'm Matthew Wells, and in this episode, we take a journey into one of the most horrific yet persistent manifestations of man's inhumanity to man, or more accurately, man's inhumanity towards young women, girls and boys. Sex trafficking and how to stop it is one of those issues here at the United Nations which can induce rage and despair in equal measure. For more than 20 years, searing documentaries have uncovered some of the modern truths of this ancient trade. But now a feature film based on one Nepalese girl's story is hoping to make a decisive difference.
I believe that film can change the world. And this film really exemplifies that. It is a platform. The message is bigger than the film itself.
Film and TV star Gillian Anderson, on her first visit to UN headquarters in March, making a bold statement about her latest leading role in the movie Sold.
She's probably 12, my daughter's age.
Can I see?
We have to help this girl.
How did you manage to take this picture?
In a nun outfit. When you raid this brothel, I want to be there and take pictures.
She plays a photographer who sees a girl standing behind bars in the window of a Calcutta brothel, crying for help. In an interview we'll hear later, the star of television's X-Files tells me how getting involved with the real-life movement behind Sold has now become her most passionate cause.
Welcome to Happiness House.
Wait, why are you locking me in?
Give yourself fully. That's how a goddess serves a god.
From now on, sweetheart, you will do what men tell you and smile while you do it till all your debt is cleared.
In the film, 13-year-old Lakshmi is sold by her callous stepfather into a life of sexual slavery. She thinks she's going to be a domestic servant to provide a tin roof for her hard-working mother, subsistence farming on a Nepalese hillside. Once she's been brutally inducted, the situation seems hopeless, but she doesn't give up, and there are flickers of light amid the graphic scenes of abuse.
What are you smiling at?
Beware of pretty boys. They'll steal your heart and then your money.
What we do know is this. It is billions of dollars, millions of people, the majority of which are women and girls, the majority of which are trafficked for sex purposes.
Simone Monasabian is the New York-based director of the UN Office on Drugs and Crime. Sex trafficking, she says, lies at the nexus of everything they are fighting against. Trafficking in people, even parts of people, is a borderless, vast criminal enterprise with women and girls at the bottom.
What we know from UNODC's biennial global report on trafficking in persons, women and girls form 70% of trafficking victims detected globally, 97% of detected victims of trafficking for sexual exploitation, and 35% of detected victims of trafficking for forced labor are women.
I wanted to know how the story of young Lakshmi in Sold, which is based on Patricia McCormick's devastating novel of the same name, fits into the global business of trafficking.
It happens in every single country, and it has so many different forms and manifestations, from a child soldier in the context of a conflict, to child labor, to forced labor of adults, to sex trafficking, forced prostitution, sexual slavery and forced marriage, and also the trafficking in organs. What's also very disturbing is at different points in one life, one may be trafficked for a variety of purposes. For example, for sex, that might be the initial context of trafficking. And then later on, when it's found that they're no longer as desirable for the market of predators, perhaps that they will be trafficked for labor. People are used as a commodity and sold over and over again. And it's an inexhaustible commodity because, unlike guns, where a bullet can only be used once, or unlike drugs, which the UN Office on Drugs and Crime also handles, and a line of coke can only be snorted once, a person can be consumed over and over again, sold repeatedly.
You say that there's no safe zone, there's no country that can feel sort of holier than thou, because it really does go on everywhere. I mean, but I suppose there are some cultural, economic, social environments which make it more conducive and more prevalent in a way.
Well, some countries are more of origin countries. Some countries are transit countries, countries where the trafficking victim may be in for a short period of time until they're taken to another country. And some are destination countries. There are some countries that are all three. Every country has this problem. And that's why we say in the United Nations, it's a shared responsibility that we all have to work on together. And we at the UN do not only work with governments, we also work with civil society, the arts community. And that's why this film is so powerful, because the UN can reach people in many different ways. But our message becomes so much stronger when we use the arts, because telling a story is something that catches you so intuitively, so instinctively, without having to read a report or a document. That data that the UN provides are very important, but we also need to change hearts and minds and also inspire people to give financially and to be part of the solution. You know, in the UN, we're not looking to only bring forward problems and expose them. We're looking forward to providing solutions. And when we work together collectively, all of the governments, with civil society, with the arts community, with writers, with storytellers, we really multiply the impact of our efforts.
There are a few things that make this kind of issue more vivid and understandable and allow people to empathize than through a film.
Absolutely. This film can be translated into many languages. Just the images themselves tell the story. You know, there have been a number of films made about issues like this, but there's something so particular about this film that's so moving, perhaps because it's a child, the powerlessness of the child.
It's one child.
And it's one child, and you really get to know the person and their full fleshed out character. Recently in December, the U.S. government had a victim of sex trafficking, of sex slavery, who was being trafficked by ISIL, testify in the Security Council on December 16th. And the Deputy Secretary General spoke, and the Executive Director of the U.N. Office on Drugs and Crime, Yuri Fedotov, spoke, and so did this very brave survivor, Nadia Taha. Having the Security Council members listen to that story, it was quite extraordinary. I mean, the 10 years that I've been here in New York at the UN and the years before in the field, I never saw anything like that. I was brought to tears in the Security Council myself, and I'm a pretty tough cookie.
In a building there were thousands of Yazidi families and children who were exchanged as gifts. One of these people came up to me. He wanted to take me. I looked down at the floor. I was absolutely petrified. When I looked up, I saw a huge man. He was like a monster.
The extraordinary Nadia Taha, bringing many to tears right here in the heart of the UN, speaking through an interpreter.
Welcome to this special event on how arts can help to end human trafficking.
In late March, Simone Monasabian was in the chair for a standing room only event that brought Gillian Anderson, the filmmakers, and even the author of Sold to the UN. Diplomats and goodwill ambassadors gave powerful testimony on the scourge of trafficking. But one speaker was credited more than any other for bringing the plight of young victims in Calcutta to the world's attention. Ruchira Gupta is an abolitionist, journalist and activist. Artistic liberties by the filmmakers are an acceptable trade-off, she said, for amplifying the harrowing story of sex trafficking.
No American customer can get inside a brothel in Calcutta. It is totally run by organized crime. Very few American photographers can walk on the streets of the red light district on their own. The work which is really done is by on-the-ground NGOs. And the process of rescue is not just the process of getting a girl out of a brothel, but it goes on for years and years, from counseling to medical help to legal help and to keeping her in school, not just putting her into school. In the movie, the girl walks out of the brothel on her own. no girl can rescue herself from a brothel. We do want Soul the movie for you all to understand the brutality of what happens to a girl. It's dehumanizing. And also to support the Taught Not Traffic campaign and make sure, and I appreciate the fact that Patricia and Jeffrey try to show some heroism, because I spoke to them about it, of a girl who takes lives in her own hands. But to make sure that the funds actually go beyond yoga, you know, to the basic needs of that last girl, to get her food, clothing, shelter and school through local NGOs.
Thank you.
Hi, Matt Wells. Hi.
Shall we?
Sure. Let's go. Safe haven at the bookshop.
Okay, safe haven
at
a bookshop.
Okay.
After the panel, I retreated with Gillian Anderson and the film's writer-director, Jeffrey Brown, to a quiet spot at the back of the UN bookshop.
We've made this film, Sold, an adaptation of Patricia McCormick's amazing novel, which I call a song prayer poem, to end human trafficking, to bring everybody into this conversation, to get everybody pledging to do something and to change this whole situation globally. We're partnered with many organizations, and we also have a partnership with TUG, which is a cinema on demand model. So you can bring this film to wherever you live, even if we're not releasing in your town or your city, and you can use it as a fundraising tool for either local anti-trafficking NGOs or global ones. If you go to our website, soldthemovie.com, you'll see all of our global partners and also our specific national partners. But you can choose your own partners to use these, use our film as a weapon of change.
Gillian, you just said just now that of all the roles, all the TV and movies that you've made, this playing this role in this film, Sold, is the one that's had the greatest impact on you. How so?
Well, I think the film has had the greatest impact on me in terms of when I started working on this, I had no idea what the truth of the situation as it stands right now globally, the amount of children that are trafficked, the amount of humans that are trafficked into slavery. I was completely naive about it. And I was also shocked by the degree of my naivete as somebody who is quite active in various organizations and charities and has been for many years. I was shocked at the fact that it just wasn't on the forefront of every conversation. And so getting involved with Jeffrey and getting involved with a campaign around the film and seeing the impact that the right kind of campaigning can have on a movement and a broader conversation and a degree of activism is really remarkable and quite unique and very inspiring.
I've got a young daughter. I mean, nothing makes me sadder or madder than the situation that these millions of girls and young people end up in every year all around the world. 12,000, I believe, annually each year in Nepal alone.
Well, the estimate is 10 to 20,000 from Nepal trafficked into India, but there are actually more as well trafficked within Nepal. In the U.S., the estimate is between 100 and 300,000 kids that are trafficked in the U.S. This is a global issue. Gillian said it before. It's in every city, in every country, in every continent in the world. And collectively, we must take care of our children, especially the ones who are vulnerable, the ones who are poor, who don't have the access and the support. And we must start enforcing laws and seeing children who are prostituted and forced into it as victims of human trafficking, not as if they have chosen this themselves. If they're under 18, this is not a choice they have made. So if you go to soldthemovie.com, you can join us, you can give us your email and we'll keep you informed, and you can use also our educational film. We've made a shorter version of the film, which is rated PG-13. For schools, we want to create a generation globally of abolitionists, of activists, young people who use their Twitter and Facebook and their social media to mobilize their friends. It's going to take all of us, and we really want to groom the next generation to be the ones that bring an end to human slavery.
How did the filming affect you? How did bringing this story to life affect you and change your views?
I was only out in Calcutta for a couple of weeks, and I'd been to India before, but getting an opportunity to visit some of the safe houses and talk to some of the survivors, but also just, you know, talking to Jeffrey and Jane Charles, a producer, about not just the work that they are doing, but the work that other organizations are doing globally, and the potential for change that can happen if the right kind of mobilization happens. That's the thing that galvanizes me, you know, that there is hope, but it means keeping the conversation alive, and it means uniting organizations across the world to help each other out in areas where they might be lacking. And so, you know, it's going to take something like this, like a movement, to get people behind it.
We just heard that only 1 in 100 of these girls gets out. I mean, how do we stop feeling hopeless about this?
Well, if you met the kids, like we did, we went to 5 NGOs in Nepal and India. I probably met about 2,000 girls who'd been trafficked. If you met them, you'd be doing what I'm doing now. You'd be advocating for them. You'd be connecting every community you can to them. You'd be connecting churches, Rotary clubs, global organizations like Save the Children, ECPAT, World Vision. All of these organizations have done a lot of work in this realm, and there's more work to be done. And we're hopefully creating partnerships between organizations, because then we'll be even more powerful. The traffickers, this is the third most lucrative illegal business in the world. It's a $150 billion industry. The U.S. allocates $30 million to fight it. We're hoping to use our film to raise that $30 million to $3 billion. And there's a petition through United Way that we're working with, and they want to make that change, and that's their agenda, and we're totally putting our film in support of that. And we're working with World Vision. We're working with Child Reach International. You know, we built 20 schools even before the film has come out. We want to build 200 schools. We want to build 10 boarding facilities for children of sex workers in India, so the kids get out before they're forced into this issue. But, you know, we want our film seen widely, because the more people that see it, the more people will be put into the shoes of a young girl who's trafficked, who's 13 years old, which is the global average age of a trafficked child.
Tragically, so often it seems to be family members who are doing the selling, who are trafficking their own flesh and blood.
Well, often family members don't know that that's what's happening. Often the children get sent off to help to bring in some extra income so that they can feed the family, or in the case of in this film, they need a new roof because it keeps leaking, and she is coerced by somebody who claims to know somebody who knows somebody in their family. But when there is that degree of poverty, and when there is that degree of need, and when kids aren't in school, that can happen. There are so many millions of vulnerable people out there who do not know that they're sending their child away and will never see them again. They think that they are going to make money. They're going to be sending money home. They can feed their siblings. One of the organizations that is doing a lot of work with this film is Taught Not Trafficked. They estimate that if you keep a girl in school up to 16, that she has an 80% less likely chance to be trafficked. And so they are advocating for and raising awareness and raising funds to get girls into schools and stay off the streets, stay out of their backyards. There are towns in Nepal where there are no more children left because they have been kidnapped into trafficking.
The most vicious character in the book, in the film, is a woman. It's the brothel keeper.
Yeah, so we modeled her after actual brothel keeper. Her past, which isn't gone into in the film, is that she was also trafficked herself.
So she's also a victim.
Yes.
Of men.
Exactly.
Let's be honest.
And, you know, behind the brothel madams globally are gangs, and they're men. And the customers, of course, are men generally. But, you know, in the U.S. and in many countries, boys are trafficked almost to the same degree as girls. It's a child rights issue that does affect young men as well, and young boys. So we have to all collectively get together and end this and make this crime really punishable, make the buyers punishable. The Nordic protocols in Sweden really eliminated trafficking there. And more countries are turning towards that as a way forward. The traffickers, the pimps, and the buyers have to have very stiff prison sentences. And, you know, the women need allocated funds for their healing and to reestablish themselves, and they need vocational training.
I mean, it's the universal nature that's so depressing in a way as well, isn't it? I mean, I've got a friend who's making a film now, a docudrama about sex trafficking at truck stops in the Midwest, here in the US.
Yeah, it's in every city. It's in our backyards. One of the most compelling stories that I heard was of a young girl who was attracted to a guy that she met in a mall in New Jersey. She thought that they were eloping together, but within 4 hours of them eloping together, she was on the streets as a sex slave in Atlantic City because she had been beaten into submission. If you're vulnerable, it's that easy to be talked into doing something that initially sounds exciting. Get on a plane, come have fun, we're going to a hotel, we're going to get dressed up, we're going to get drunk, you know, and then within a short period of time, you're actually being used on the streets.
In terms of your advocacy, has this now become your number one passion, this issue?
I mean, I'm involved in a lot of different charities and organizations, but I'd have to say it. Yes, it has.
This darkness can only be ended by light, and we need more and more people spreading the light of this film. We made a film where the heroine is filled with love and compassion, even though she's brutalized into this situation. She takes care of everyone around her and finally triumphs. So it inspires people to action, and hope is the best way to do so. And we really want everyone to know that this can come to an end. We can end human trafficking, and this film will, I think, get lots more people to join in that struggle.
Thanks both very much indeed.
Sold is a visceral, moving, deliberately hopeful story about a girl and a place far away from UN headquarters in Manhattan. But as more than one person pointed out at the special trafficking event we heard from earlier, there are plenty of girls living just across the East River, where I'm recording these words, who know exactly what Lakshmi's gone through. To the left is the bridge to Queens, and dead ahead, the famous glowing red Pepsi Cola sign. This quintessential American borough is home to Melanie Thompson, who's now 19 and a trafficking survivor. She spoke to UN Radio at a UN Commission on the Status of Women event a few weeks ago and told us her own story of being sold.
When I was 12, I went out to the movies with my friends. I bumped into friends, or a person that I thought was a friend that graduated before me in my middle school. And I went back to their place, and long story short, I ended up drinking and passing out, and I woke up to being raped by the person I thought was a friend. And in the midst of me trying to, like, put my clothes back on and, like, gather my life, that friend, quote unquote, exposed me to his older brother, who ended up trafficking me, and I haven't been home since and have been arrested. From the precinct, after I saw the judge, I had to go through 3 residential treatment facilities, 2 mental hospitals, and then from the hospitals, when I came back to a residential treatment facility, I got into the foster care system.
So how do you think you've gotten to a point where you're okay talking about this?
I don't think I'm ever 100% okay. But I am the oldest of 7, and I do, you know, my sister is about the age that I was when I was trafficked. And I know that when you're in the life, you don't really have a voice a lot of the time. And as much as it may be hard for me to speak, I always think back on those who can't talk and say to myself, well, you know what? If somebody spoke for me when I was in the life, I probably wouldn't have gone through half of the things I've gone through. And that just gives me motivation every time.
So what do you think is the difference between trafficking in the United States versus like a developing country?
To me, it's no different. It may look a little different. For those countries where trafficking is prevalent, you see it more for something of value than money. Whereas in the States, it's primarily for money because we're not really a poor country. So in developing countries, you, especially with survivors I know, they say to me all the time, I was trafficked, or my mother sold me so that we could keep our house, or, you know, my mother sold me because they threatened to kill the family if I didn't, or we needed shelter, so the man took me in exchange for the house. Spreading awareness is the number one in terms of getting laws passed, rules changed, letting people that don't know about the issue know about it. Like, it's so important in so many ways. Talk to survivors. We are not our stories. And I think that that is probably, over any awareness or any advocacy that I can give, I think that's one of the most important, because at the end of the day, I've done press conferences, I've done city hall hearings, but all of them, they can hear the story and they can feel bad at the moment, but they usually go home. And sometimes some of them just still have the same perception that they went into it with, that, well, she did it by choice, so she was over 18. We are not our stories, and there's no such thing as making a choice in their life, and I think that's one of the most important things to remember.
The courageous Melanie Thompson, embodying the truth that, in her own words, we are not our stories, and living proof that wherever you are in the world, sex trafficking persists, on the hillsides of Nepal and in the canyons of New York City. I'm Matthew Wells, and this has been a podcast from UN Radio. Thanks for listening.